United States submarine base at Key West, Florida. A dispatch that quoted President Truman's press secretary, Charles Ross, as saying that President Truman has no knowledge of any secret project by this government that would give substance to the existence of such objects. Ross also said that both the Air Force and the Navy deny that such objects exist.
78
I don't
want to
do this. 78 but. Climbing. I don't want to do this. I'm actually like high key mad at you.
Why?
For doing this. Because I said no. I said a hard no. I didn't say no to nothing. I have let you bully me into content for years now. And this is the only time I've ever said no.
Yeah.
And I'm like literally fucking freaking out. 83.
Well, here's the thing.
I've been having nightmares since you said we were going to talk about this.
But here's the thing. And I end the episode by saying this, but I guess I'll say it up top too. This is just going to help you, like...
You stupid, son of a bitch. No, it fucking
make
isn't.
Better decisions, yeah, because now you can filter to make sure that the flight you're on is never a Boeing. So anyway, and also, Spirit Airlines is only using Airbus, and it's their time to shine, to be like,
I
hey, remember?
I specifically avoid Spirit Airlines so I don't die.
Well, you actually should have... stay on them, the opposite of avoid, because they use Airbus. So
what kind of planes do American Airlines use?
Mostly Boeing.
Well, fuck off, man.
Anyway, hey, what's up? I didn't want to get so heavy into the topic right off the bat, but I guess we will. But you know, hey, what's up? My name is Noelle, and the mystery of life is not a problem to solve, but a reality to experience. And that is a Dune quote, and that is also related to researching things that make us uncomfortable, because it's timely, appropriate, and educational, and it's what people want to hear. So, who
fuck
are you?
Off. Go fuck yourself. Let me Google a Dune quote real quick.
I've got one for you that's really appropriate to how you're feeling about this episode right now. I must not fear. Fear is the
God, don't. That's cheap.
Fear is the little death that brings total obliteration. I will face my fear, Chelsea. I will listen to the Boeing episode. I will permit it to pass over me and through me. And when it has gone past, I will turn the inner eye to see its path. Where the fear has gone, there will be nothing. Only I will remain and my comfortability with flying on planes.
And I'm Chelsea. There is no escape. We pay for the violence of our ancestors.
Well, if you couldn't guess, today we're talking about Chelsea's favorite topic, airplanes. And not just airplanes, Boeing specifically.
Yeah. And I'm going to be periodically checking in with my heart rate.
Okay, well, you can check
it. As I freak out.
You can check it. So let me start off by saying... we're really flying by the seats of our Boeing 737 MAX 9 aircraft, taking a stab at this episode, because things are still developing in real time. And even after I wrote this episode, I had to go back and make some new adjustments that had happened. I know that the thought of this episode stresses Chelsea out and a lot of you out, but this should honestly just make you feel more confident in which airlines you choose to fly with. It also sounds crazy, but travel by airplane is the safest form of transportation. Statistically speaking, you are more likely to win the lottery than to get in a plane crash.
It's not the fucking plane, man. It's not the plane.
Planes don't go down because of turbulence. They go down because they don't have bolts put in them.
It's like the fear of not being able to escape. It's like the fear of not being able to leave a situation.
Well, you should feel that fear every day. So,
I do, since you fucking started this.
You're very unique in your fear, because like I don't think that's why most people fear airplanes and flying. I think most people fear airplanes and flying because they're in a fucking rocket tube in the sky being powered by elves.
I would rather go on a fucking hot air balloon. Because
that's crazy. There are more deaths and crashes in hot air balloons than there are in planes.
The anxiety I get in an airplane is the same as the anxiety I get in a two-door car when someone makes me sit in the back seat. Not having it.
That's crazy. So anyway, most of you should not be surprised by this episode because of what's conspired in the last month and honestly the last few weeks. So let's get into it. Boeing is an American aerospace company that designs, manufactures, and sells airplanes, rotorcraft, rockets, satellites, and telecommunications equipment worldwide. One of the most well-known products of Boeing is its commercial airplanes, including the Boeing 737, Boeing 747, Boeing 777, and Boeing 787. These airplanes are widely used by airlines around the world for passenger and cargo transportation. And for those of you who are living in a cave, why are we talking about this?
Because yeah, why are we talking about this terrible fucking topic?
Because what are you looking at?
I'm trying to find my therapy book for airplanes so that I can have my comfort.
There, get your worksheets out. He's totally not joking. Fear of flying workbook.
I think when shit hits the fan, I should read from my workbook.
Yeah, if you start to feel upset, you can read a passage. Just let me know. But why are we talking about this? Because on January 5th, 2024, Alaskan Airlines flight 1282, which was a Boeing 737 MAX 9 aircraft, lost its door mid-flight. This specific plane had been scheduled to undergo maintenance later that night, Alaska claimed. Engineers and technicians raised concerns that a light indicating problems with the plane's pressurizing system were going off, yet it was kept in service with, quote, some restrictions. Honestly, how crazy that seats 26A and 26B, the two that were right next to the door, never had anyone assigned to them. And you can think that this is like divine intervention.
Or because the airplane knew.
My tinfoil hat conspiracy theory, which I see that Chelsea buys into, is that the airline knew that that was the problem area to not sit anyone there. Because if there had been people sitting there minding their business and honestly with their seatbelt off, we would be having a very different conversation, as in there would have been casualties in this accident. A 15-year-old seated behind those seats was thankfully wearing his seatbelt, because at around 16,000 feet, which isn't even cruising altitude, this is just during takeoff, the door plug blew out. And he describes his shirt being sucked off by the plane's pressure. AP claims that if this had happened at cruising altitude, again, the situation would have been fatal. Alaska came out and said that the warnings it had on the plane did not meet its standards to immediately take it out of service. What's even crazier? The plane was barely 12 months old. After the investigation from this incident, it was found that no bolts were installed on the door plug. Alaska then went and checked their other Boeing MAX 9 planes and found that bolts were loose or missing on many of them. This is what leads the FAA to ground every Boeing 737 MAX 9 plane they could till they could go through an inspection. The door plug was later found in the backyard of a Portland area home, along with someone's working and unscathed iPhone, which prompted me and the rest of the world to ask what screen protector and case they were using.
Bet it was OtterBox.
I don't even think it was an OtterBox. It literally looked like some fucking $8.99 two-day shipping off Amazon, which is crazy because my phone drops out of my back pocket, shattered into a million pieces. This phone falls from 16,000 feet, honestly works better and faster.
This honestly, like, what if this is really just a really, really well thought out diabolical advertisement for Apple's warranty program?
I wouldn't put it past them. Honestly, I wouldn't put it past them. From this incident, Boeing fired the executive in charge of the 737 MAX program, Ed Clark, which honestly, like,
good. Fire all of them.
No, this is the thing. They needed a fall guy. I don't think this had anything to do with Ed Clark. And it honestly, hate to spoil some of the episode, doesn't just have to do with the 737s. So, but whatever. You want a fall guy. You don't want to actually put bolts in your fucking doors. I get it. And that's it, you guys. End of episode. Boeing got their shit together and we never heard anything about it ever again.
How's your heart rate? I'm like getting into, like, my phone thinks I'm in a workout right now.
Well, put your sweatbands on because unfortunately, no. Let's go back in the time machine real quick. This timeline is taken from the Seattle Times. And we're going to start on August 30th, 2011. Boeing launches the 737 MAX, an update to the 737 with larger engines rather than an all-new design. The move is forced when American Airlines prepares to give Airbus a large order for the rival A320neo. So does that make sense? Do we understand?
Kind of.
So you have, just like everything in the United States is an oligarchy, it's just three sewer rats in a trench coat running the entire country.
Yeah.
There are basically only two big players in the world of airplanes, and it's Boeing and Airbus. And Airbus was about to launch their A320neo, which would be like this, their new, more fuel efficient, more eco, and I say eco in parentheses and italics, like it was their new competitor that they were bringing out in 2011. And Boeing goes, oh shit, we don't have dick. And so they just swap out the engine. They keep the fucking shell and they just swap out the engine rather than redesign the entire plane.
Hate them. I hate them.
Yeah. December 8th, 2015. The first 737 MAX rolls out of the Renton factory. January 29th, 2016. The first flight of the 737 MAX 8. March 9th, 2017. The FAA certifies the MAX 8. April 13th, 2017. The MAX 9, a slightly larger version, makes its first flight at Renton Municipal Airport. May 17th, 2017, Boeing delivers the first MAX 8 to Malaysian-based Milando Air. February 16th, 2018, the FAA certifies the MAX 9 for passenger service. October 29th, 2018, a 737 MAX 8 operated by Lion Air crashes after takeoff in Indonesia, killing all 189 people on board.
85 BPM.
November 6, 2018, Boeing issues a service bulletin telling pilots that a sensory failure may activate a system to push the nose down automatically and instructing them what to do if this happens. So let's break this down really quick. What is this saying? This is saying that there is a fault in their sensor that will make the plane nosedive. And this sensor has a specific trigger that's supposed to set it off to keep the plane balanced, but there are certain conditions unrelated to that that they aren't fixing that could cause the nosedive. And so they just tell them in a bulletin, this is what you need to do to prevent that from happening.
Just fly out of it. It's literally, oh my God, I'm gonna get 89.
March 10th, 2019. A 737 MAX 8 operated by Ethiopian Airlines crashes after departure from, I'm not even, Adidas Ababa. I'm so sorry. I went to public school. It's a crazy name.
Oh my God. Terrible.
Say it. You try to say it.
Addis Ababa.
I was close. And unfortunately, this 737, when it crashed after takeoff, did kill all 157 people on board. March 13th, 2019, aviation regulators ground the MAX worldwide. March 27th, 2019, Boeing announces the outline of its proposed software fix for the MCAS, the flight control system that caused the two crashes. Thanks, guys. Thanks for the software update.
I'm going to cry, dude. I'm like fucking teetering on like mental breakdown here. This shit is so scary.
April 29th, 2019. At a news conference after Boeing's annual shareholder meeting in Chicago, CEO Dennis Muilenburg refuses to acknowledge the flaws in the MCAS design. October 25th, 2019. The final report from the investigation of the Lion Air crash a year earlier faults the design and the certification of the MCAS. December 23rd, 2019, Muhlenberg is fired and replaced by board chair Dave Calhoun. November 18th, 2020, the FAA ungrounds the MAX. December 21st, 2020, Congress passes a sweeping overhaul of the FAA meant to improve oversight, particularly of Boeing. April 9, 2021, an electrical flaw grounds more than 60 MAXes. December 13, 2021, in a report to Congress, seven whistleblowers allege fundamental problems with safety oversight in the aerospace industry. September 22, 2022, Boeing and U.S. regulators reach a $244 million settlement in the deadly MAX crashes. December 19, 2022, over objections, Congress clears the way for the MAX 7 and MAX 10 to be certified by the FAA despite outdated crew alert systems. January 30th, 2023, Boeing announces plans for a fourth MAX assembly line to open in Everett. April 13th, 2023, Spirit AeroSystems reports a defect in fittings that attach the MAX vertical tail. August 23rd, 2023.
Oh, that's my birthday.
Boeing reports defect in the aft pressure bulkhead assembly by Spirit. December 28th, 2023. Boeing urges all airlines to inspect the 737 MAX planes after finding loose bolts in the rudder control system. January 5th, 2024. A MAX 9 depressurizes over Portland after a fuselage panel blows out. Authorities ground all U.S. MAX 9s that day. The FAA also gave Boeing 90 days to turn their theoretical shit around when it comes to safety issues. Unfortunately for them and all of us, as CNN has reported on February 26, that the aviation safety panel found Boeing to have safety gaps and a fear of retaliation. So now, we're basically caught up to speed in current day. We're at least in March.
85, holding strong.
I highly recommend everyone go check out John Oliver's recap of what happened with Boeing. Because he goes over how they weren't always this way. I titled this episode, "If It's Boeing, I Ain't Going." But that's a play on their old slogan, which was like, "If it's Boeing, I'm going." And they even had merch, which, as John Oliver points out, is an interesting choice to still have on your website on this day. But they were known for safety and innovation and having an engineer first focus. And iconically, honestly, one project manager from Boeing in the early 90s was noted as saying, quote, "The only thing that will make me rip off your head and shit down your neck is withholding information."
Bring that guy back. What happened to him? Did they off him too?
I don't know what happened to him. John Oliver says this quote as well. It's incredible. It comes from the book Flying Blind, The 737 MAX Tragedy and the Fall of Boeing. So, yeah, light reading material if you're into that. And John Oliver's recap also highlights basically what we can agree on is the specific point in time and people that caused the downfall of Boeing. And it was a merger. It was a merger with the shady military corporation, McDonnell Douglas. And this merger took place in 1996, and that was the start of the fall. John Oliver notes that this merger was deeply tied with sketchy stock buyback programs, where company money that could have gone to making planes would be used to inflate stock prices instead. And even in their like employee bulletins and meetings, it was all about stock prices and had nothing to do about safety and innovation. So TLDR, corporate greed leads to fucked on safety.
Yeah. And it sounds like this is just a place that's a defense contractor.
Yeah.
And they were just an aerospace company.
Yeah.
I hate them.
And also McDonnell Douglas has been like tied to like horrific atrocities. So
of course they are, because they only care about money and they don't care about me getting slurped out of the sky.
Yeah. So again, back in the present, or at least last month. February 6th, a Boeing 737 MAX 8 on a flight from the Bahamas to Newark Airport in New Jersey experienced a, quote, stuck rudder pedal on its landing roll. March 4th, a Boeing 737-900 leaving Houston, Texas, had its engine compressor stall, which caused an engine backfire and flames to shoot out of the back of the engine. There is a video of this from a passenger. It's insane. If you want to look at it, that's up to you. Thursday, March 7th, a Boeing 777 leaving San Francisco Airport for Japan, quote, lost a portion of landing gear tire during takeoff, end quote, and tire debris landed in the employee parking lot, crushing a few cars. The next day, a Boeing 737 MAX 8 ran off the runway in Houston, Texas. March 11th, 50 people were injured on a Boeing 787 Dreamliner that took a nosedive flying from Sydney, Australia. March 11th, the New York Times reported that the FAA held a six-week audit on Boeing's production of the 737 MAX jet and found it failed 33 of 89 audits after the door incident. On the night of March 14th, another Boeing 777 had to make an emergency landing at LAX. The reasoning is still unknown as this was just developing. Among other instances reported, were using a hotel key card to check a door seal and using Dawn dish soap as a door seal lubricant in the fit up process.
Bruh. I don't know why you're doing this to me. I have like no witty banter because I'm just in fucking survival mode.
That's okay. Just absorb the information. That's the point of this
episode. I'm taking a flight in May.
Hopefully it's not Boeing. There.
It probably is Boeing. I'm going on American Airlines.
I'll have to look it up. There is one instance that I am purposely skipping until now, which is that on Saturday, March 9th, John Barnett, age 62, of Louisiana, who worked at Boeing for 32 years as a quality manager of the 787's unit until his retirement in 2017, when he also sounded the alarm with aviation authorities about what he said were potentially, quote, catastrophic safety failings. On that Saturday, March 9th, he was found dead from what police are calling a self-inflicted gunshot wound in his car parked outside a Holiday Inn in Charleston. Yeah, fucking
Boeing killed him. He got. He got suicided. They Epstein'd him. It's so blatantly clear, especially when you have a defense contractor who's funding all your fucking money and only cares about the shareholders. Like, obviously, they're killing people out here. And they have no regards for safety, just how they have no regard for your safety on the fucking airplane. Bullshit.
And
this is bullshit.
I mean, not only do I agree with Chelsea, but also the timing is very conspicuous. Because the news of his apparent suicide comes one day after he drove out to Charleston to testify in a deposition related to multiple and ongoing problems he witnessed at Boeing's 787 plant. This was one day in what was to be an ongoing multiple-day deposition. His lawyers have said, quote, Barnett was in the middle of giving deposition testimony in his whistleblower retaliation case against Boeing when he died. He was in very good spirits and really looking forward to putting this phase of his life behind him and moving on. We didn't see any indication he would take his own life. No one can believe it, end quote. On April 20th, 2019, the article Claims of Shoddy Production Draw Scrutiny to a Second Boeing Jet. That's the name of it. Sorry, it's kind of long.
Yeah.
Workers at a 787 Dreamliner plant in South Carolina complained of defective manufacturing, debris left on planes, and pressure to not report these violations. This was published by the New York Times. This was the first time Barnett was made out to be the face of the whistleblowing happening against Boeing. In the article, he echoes the concerns other employees make, just like in John Oliver's clip, that profits come before safety. They are actively ignoring issues and punish you if you speak out or raise hell about it. Even before the article came out in 2019, Barnett had multiple whistleblower complaints out against Boeing. All went ignored. John Barnett was interviewed by Ralph Nader in 2019. He said health issues had persisted after he retired from the plane maker. Quote, "It's taken a serious mental and emotional toll on me, but the safety of the airplanes rolling off the production line remained my main focus. That's what my story is about. Is telling my story enough to where the right people get involved to make sure that these airplanes are made correctly? Because the 787 carries 280 passengers plus crew. So the last thing I want to do is wake up in the morning and see a 787 has gone down. I mean, it's just, it keeps me up at night." End quote.
That's insane. Yeah. That's because that carries almost like, what, 1,000 people?
Almost 300 per flight.
It's fucking insane.
Despite the plethora of instances against Boeing, the FAA hasn't actually...
I don't know where I got 1,000 people from.
Yeah, I don't know why you...
My eyes are crossing. 787. I think
you did 787.
I think I looked and I saw numbers in my public school. I was like, well...
I mean, might as well be 1,000. Uh-huh. The FAA actually hasn't punished Boeing. And maybe that's because, as John Oliver points out, some of the FAA members who conduct these investigations on Boeing also work for Boeing. Boeing gets to choose who conducts these investigations.
Dude, that's seriously, it's like the...
conflict of interest.
Yeah, absolute conflict of interest. And it's like, we're fucking seeing it from the top down, man.
Yeah.
We're seeing it from the top down.
And to all of this, I say, Kayak has a filter that allows you to exclude certain plane types and models from your searches, as well as a website called Alternative Airlines, where you can also search for flights that don't use Boeing. And before we break off into our discussion session, I want to say that laundry list of flights that I talked about recently, where no one was hurt, when in cases where they definitely could have and honestly should have been, There's one common factor in all of them, besides the fact that they were all Boeing, is that they had a spectacular pilot and crew. So as we like talk about Boeing and as we like look at the airline industry under the magnifying glass that it's apparently been dodging, if there's one thing we can like tip our hats to and know that is not the problem, it's like these super talented pilots and flight crew. Those are the people keeping you safe even when the equipment isn't. So shout out to all of them.
I'm just looking up my fucking flight now. It's also a Southwest. What kind of airplanes does Southwest use? Now we got to find out what kind of airplanes does Southwest fly.
And as far and
I'm going to use the Boeing 737s. God. I got to drive. It's like I'm driving 19 hours. Dude, you've broken me.
Take the train.
No, that's so expensive, man.
You know what's crazy is that, like, when the door flew off in January, everyone was like, this is going to turn them around. All this pressure, all this visibility.
Nope. No. They don't give a fuck.
Nope.
When have they ever cared? When have they ever cared?
Fucking parade of accidents since then. And I don't think it's just because, like, there was more visibility, right? That's one of the problems you get with, like, the internet. Is this actually a problem, or is this the very vocal minority that's being amplified because we are connected to everything and everyone and everywhere all at once, instantaneously? But I don't think that's the case with the Boeing, because that the door incident from January, that, like I said, that plane was 2 months old. I think that all of these instances are coming from the shoddy, shitty, undone, not completed work coming off of Boeings that are new. So
I don't know, man. But all those planes were new at the time that they like came out.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, that they're all new planes. And
I'm on a Boeing 737-700.
So maybe you should see when that one was made. I think if it was made like from 2022 back, I think you'd be okay. It's clearly the like newer planes. It's planes that have been made in the last 6 months to a year from Boeing.
That's awesome.
But yeah, it's going to be curious to see how this all pans out, right? Because clearly Boeing and the FAA and military contractors are all three-way kissing with each other. So the fact that they were able to basically dodge two planes going down when they first released is kind of crazy. So I'm not surprised that we're here now.
Dude, all the searches for this, is the Boeing 737-700 the same as the MAX?
Mm-hmm.
But apparently the MAX 7 is bigger.
Mm-hmm.
But then also it tried to say 737 Ethiopia. Though. Fuck, Ethiopian Airlines uses a 737-700.
Well, you're not flying Ethiopian Airlines to go to California.
I am not happy with you. I am not happy with airplanes.
Don't shoot the messenger, bitch. I just gave you two resources.
They're literally shooting the messenger. They're literally shooting the messengers. They are putting a gun in their mouth and they're blowing their heads off because they don't want anyone to know what they're doing. They're coming for John Oliver next. They're coming for me fucking next. I'm not going to get any sleep tonight.
Oh my God.
I've been riding a BPM that now it says I've been in zone for like 7 minutes. Zone is like a sprint.
We'll just use the kayak filter or alternative airlines.
I've already booked the flight.
I bet if you got on that customer service line and was like, hey, so I heard that your shit's been fucking up. Can you get me not on
customer service? If you put me on a Boeing, I'll fucking kill myself.
If you put me on a fucking Boeing, I'm going to call.
I don't want to
call.
Day,
every
email.
Minute of
Do
the day.
Do they have an email?
They're not replying to your fucking email, girl. But anyway, that's what's going on with Boeing. And I think that's important. And also, let me just go ahead and tie this back. The news coverage, the footage that we got instantaneously from a lot of these incidents were boots on the ground. It was, you know, your auntie pulling out her iPhone and recording and uploading it to a little app called TikTok. And as much as we all want to pretend that TikTok is a place to doom scroll and brain rot and rot max and laugh and gag and giggle, it is also a place where, unfortunately, honestly, we get a lot of not just our news, but global news, and we get it instantaneously. And whether for good reason or bad, we get it without being filtered, censored, edited, or put through a news conglomerate. And I think because of that, obviously there's good and bad to it, but I think because of that, that's why we're getting this tangible, heavy knowledge of these instances going on with Boeing. And
yeah,
honestly,
dude,
other instances.
That's why they want to cancel TikTok. They don't want to see anyone support Palestine, and they don't want us to get our information about Boeing.
Yeah. Anything. Anything that goes against the status quo or could potentially hurt the pockets of investors or stakeholders or shareholders in which the problem affects, i.e. Boeing, i.e. Palestine, they don't want that. It's again, you can put CNN and Fox next to each other and they're just the same pig wearing different shades of lipstick.
Hmm.
They're going to be censoring the same shit. It's why they try to make this like a person debate, a personality debate against like my guy versus your guy. Because it keeps you like off this trail that it's actually about the corporations, not about these puppets. So when they sit there and make us look like absolute fucking fools on the world stage, when our representatives make ridiculous questions about Wi-Fi and not understanding that Singapore is unrelated to China, it's embarrassing to us as a country, as a nation, as a people. It shows how weak we are. It shows how stupid we are. But like, don't let that distract you from the real bread and butter of it, which is like them. The government wants to ban this app because they don't have control over it. They said that the only conditions in which they won't ban the app is if someone from the United States buys it. And Zuckerberg was unfortunately at the top of the list to bid for it and want it and say that he would take it, which would mean we would get another platform run by Meta, taken over by bots, and uncensored, filtered garbage piling to the top. I highly recommend everyone listen to or read that. Oh my God, I'm going to blank on the name of it. It's a book that I finished. Chelsea's husband, Oliver, actually read it for a book club. And it's about like propaganda in the digital age.
Wow, he just read The Hobbit for book club. So I'm like, it is a good choice.
It's not The Hobbit though. But and they go over basically like how we got here and how Facebook got so out of control. And it's called The Chaos Machine.
Yeah, that's it.
The Chaos,
I knew I would know it if I heard it.
The Chaos Machine, The Inside Story of How Social Media Rewired Our Minds and Our World by Max Fisher. If you have Spotify Premium, you can listen to it for free. I highly recommend listening to it. It takes you on a timeline of how we got here. And it should, even if you don't want to believe that like our government wants to ban apps like TikTok because they don't have control of it, at least listen to it to understand the power that Facebook and Mark Zuckerberg have over our geopolitical climate and the way that our masses receive information, and let that fear you at the potential of him owning yet another app and once again solidifying that the United States is owned by an oligarchy or a few select people.
Yeah, fight
by
back.
By people, I mean corporations. So, email your representatives. Show, who owns TikTok, actually did like post a TikTok that was like the first thing you saw when you opened the app. I think it was like last week, with a template and telling you like how to contact your state representative. Of course, our government said that that was inappropriate of him to do because they're fucking pussies. But again, echoing it, reach out to your representative. Email's fine. There's templates online you can copy and paste. Call them if you're taking a shit. And really put them through it. Leave them some voicemails. Let them know that they're not going to let it. It's not going to go unseen, unheard. They're not going to be able to get away with it so easily if they do.
Yeah.
I had some people ask, like, what's the point of reaching out to our representative if they're going to do it anyway? If they're going to do like not what we want anyway. And while yes, I agree, that's frustrating. I think in a instantaneous context and also a historical context, it will highlight a moment in time where our elected officials who are elected to represent us were not representing us. And it helps paint the picture of corruption. And it also helps paint the picture of we should vote this person out because we all voted for this thing. They voted against us and we vote them in. So that's also why voting in your local elections is probably the most important voting you can do.
Yeah, register Democrat so you can, or register Republican so you can get in at the primary level and fuck everything up grassroots style.
Yeah, that's what the recommendation is. If you live in a heavily red state like we do, they say that your vote matters more if you register Republican and vote Democrat. So, but at the end of the day, I don't like either of them. Like I said, they're the same fucking pig wearing different shades of lipstick, but I am also not tone deaf to the fact that non-compliance and ignorance leads us down the same road. So just be active and be vocal and be educated and ask questions and never stop pushing and persisting. So,
yeah.
That's all I have to say about that.
I'm so upset. Yeah, you said it great. I'm so frightened all the time.
Yeah. It's
I don't know what to do.
It's you know, late stage and end stage capitalism. But yeah. Speaking of capitalism, there is some place where you can put your dollars to use. And that's by supporting us on Patreon. A dollar gets you in. That's it. One measly little dollar for a whole month. You get new episodes every week. And you can find that in our link tree, which is in all of our bios. We're at Go to Hell Podcast. I'm at Noel Fane. That is at Sith Lard. You can also find a link to our merch. 100% of the proceeds are donated. I'm out of water. You can also find a link to Kelly Holloran or at Wildwood Owl on Etsy. She makes cool shit for us and she makes cool shit in general. You can also find a link to our Discord server. Shout out to everyone who also DM'd me there and not just on Patreon about like being sad on the Patreon episode. I really appreciate it.
Noelle's mental breakdown.
Yeah.
Noelle's brain functions about as good as Boeing's corporation does.
Yeah. My brain function is about as sturdy and stable as a Boeing bolt on a door. Mm-hmm. And by that, I mean, it's flying off at cruising altitude.
No teenager is safe and their shirts are being just whipped out into the skies.
So yeah, there's that. And I had something else to say. Oh yeah.
YouTube.
We're on YouTube now. So go check us out. It's not our faces. I'm not ready for that type of emotional scrutiny, but it's all the episodes. If you prefer listening there, go check that out. And please subscribe because we have to get to, I think Chelsea said, 1,000 subscribers, and then we can start monetizing on that. And that would be super cool because then we can do cool things like donate the money or go see Ghost Adventures live.
Hell yeah. Do so much cool shit.
So definitely do that. And I need to get the fuck out of here because I saw, you'll never believe, another mosquito.
Yeah, let's get out of here so that Noelle can go get eaten alive.
I'm losing it, dude. I'm losing it. It's the fucking infestation all over again. It's 2020. Dude, it's 2020 all over again. The bug infestation happened in 2020. It's 2024. It's another leap year. It's going to be another fucking election cycle with fucking Trump and goddamn Biden, and I'm infested by bugs, but this time they're not box elders, they're fucking mosquitoes. Oh, we live in a matrix. Anyway.
It's truly dazzling to watch you just descend into chaos.
I can't handle it, dude.
It's visual poetry.
I'm losing it. Okay, let's get the fuck out of here.
All right, bye.
Bye.